Welcome, everybody. This is Charles Cook, your host here at the Immigration Hour. It's great to be with you today. It's been our first podcast of the year. It's been kind of a crazy month of January. I was out of the country for the first week, and I was out of town for a grandchild event. And then last week, I was stuck in court. And so this week gave me a chance to finally talk on what's been going on in immigration. And obviously, the 900-pound gorilla in the room is the parole legislation, or let's call it the Senate immigration bill, that is hung up on the issue of parole. Now, normal Americans think of parole as a criminal tool, that is something that lets people out of jail. Well, parole is kind of that in the immigration context, but it's more of letting them into the country as opposed to out of jail. You can always ask for bond to get out of immigration jail. That's not parole. That's a bond release. Parole actually has very specific meaning, and it's a term of art within immigration law. And parole generally means that the president has, or ICE, if they're detaining somebody, or CBP, has determined that the person is not a violent threat to America, and that they should be able to come into the country and live safely for a set period of time. And parole has been around for a very, very long time. I mean, at least to 1952, it's part of the Immigration Nationality Act. The Congress decided that the president should have parole authority on a case-by-case basis for individuals who meet certain criteria. So let's first talk about the numbers, because incredibly, immigration's become the number one political issue of Republican voters. How much TV are you watching? Really, this is not affecting most people's lives. If the press would, you know, not dramatize, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. If they wouldn't dramatize this, if I'd ask the average person, how many people, as a percentage of population, do you think have been paroled into the United States in the last 12 months? That's important. How many people do you think that, as a percentage of population, have been paroled into the United States in the last year? What do you think? It's 0.29850746% of the population. Less than a third of a percent is a million people. And last year, Biden paroled 1 million people in the United States. Now, these are 1 million people who did, for the most part, did not show up at the border. They instead came into the country. Now, there's different types of parole authority that the president has that are really, really important to talk about. Now, the president's biggest parole program initially, early on, was for Afghans. We were going to allow Afghans, our allies from the war who we abandoned. We allowed in over 100,000 Afghans in the United States who were our allies, people we trusted with our soldiers' lives. Nobody complained about that. Well, some people complained about it. Natives always complain, but rash people didn't complain. Then president set up the Uniting for Ukraine program, which for the first time, then together with Afghans, allowed private citizens to sponsor these people, these parolees, treated as refugees, but not quite refugees, to be sponsored by individuals, by churches. A wild success. 176,000 Ukrainians came into the United States early on in the war started by Russia, and it's been a resounding success. Well, Biden then took the next step and said, look, we're at the border. The biggest groups of people coming to the border were from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. So he set up a parole program that allowed 30,000 individuals per month from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela to be privately sponsored to come to the United States. So those people were not showing up at the border. Then the president uses parole authority to look at people from Colombia, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, who were in the line, who were waiting to get a green card in their home countries, and said, you know what? You have family who are sponsoring you. Your number, you're going to be coming here over the next 3 years anyway, the way the numbers are working. We will parole you into the country. And it's been a wildly successful program. And I complain a lot about Biden, all right? And I think he's done not enough on immigration, especially as it relates to legislation, which is where the only real fixes are. But he's used the power that Congress gave them, gave the president. Now, other presidents have used it over a period of time. There's a great graph that came out yesterday. I was on the Twitter machine looking at all the paroles. Biden has not paroled the most people. Okay, he's not paroled the most people in a year. Hundreds of thousands of people have been paroled in other years, usually for natural disasters or wars. Presidents have used these for decades. And now, because of the media and Donald Trump, and a lot of know-nothings having a little bit of media savvy, they're going to take that parole authority away from the president? That's insane. That's insane. This is not a back, well, I guess you could call it a backdoor immigration pathway, but they're not immigrating. They're here temporarily. Now, some people will get green cards, people from that have came in early on family-based visas. They'll come in. Others, like from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, they can apply for asylum. I mean, they might have died in their home country. This, what parole is for, is to go after that humanitarian needs that are emerging all over the world in unprecedented numbers. Much of it brought about because of what happened with COVID. But also keep in mind, there was basically people didn't travel for 2 years, didn't leave for 2 years, and there was a massive pent-up demand. Now, I see people say, oh, you just want open immigration. Well, I'm not really for it. I'm not a libertarian. I don't believe in open immigration. But I believe our immigration is not enough to sustain America. I believe we need more immigrants to come to America, not less. And I think we should be picking those people. I agree. We should be picking who comes. But that's up to Congress. Only Congress can pick who comes. The president is given parole. That's what he can do. And he can't give anybody green cards that don't qualify under the law. He can't make them permanent residents. He can't make them citizens. He can't let them vote. He can't even give them public benefits. Nothing. But he can let them come here for safety. And that's what parole has been. Well, what does it mean for Congress to now say we want to, at least some in Congress, they want to end parole? Now, I will tell you, today on the Twitter machine, it was reported by The Hill a couple hours ago that Senate negotiations over a border policy proposal, because it's a border issue, tied to aid for Ukraine, which is crazy. It's just stupid to tie these two things. They have nothing to do with each other. Are snagged on the White House's parole authority, or according to GOP senators. Now, Biden's apparently willing to limit his authority. The Democrats are willing to sell people out permanently for some temporary aid in the Ukraine. This is, interestingly enough, it's short on details. We know, like, people like Mike Lee, who apparently hate everybody who's not white, want to get rid of parole. But presidents, regardless of the president, need this authority. And there's a lot. If you end parole, you think the border is bad now, you will see chaos at the border if parole goes away. You will. You will absolutely see chaos at the border if this goes away. What they need to do at the border is have a more metered approach to asylum. I get it. You can meter effectively. But you also need to put up billboards all over Latin America and out-advertise the cartels that are advertising people to come to America and tell Fox News to stop saying the border's open. They want the border is closed. Biden deported 400,000 people from the border last year. I mean, come on. Facts are vitally important. But what happens if Congress does away? What happens if Congress ends parole? What if that's the end result of what happens here? Well, big problem with humanitarian cases. What about if Canada is devastated by an earthquake and are we going to let Canadians in? What happens if there is a revolution in Mexico and people flee? Are we going to let them in? Let's say a communist revolution in Mexico. Are we going to let them in? We've been letting Cubans come in for 60 years. Why not Mexicans? People that seek medical treatment, they come on humanitarian parole. People that save their lives, because we have life-saving medical in the United States. Parole is also used for family reunification. You don't want, I mean, that's the cornerstone of immigration policy. We're not going to allow family reunification? That's crazy. Delayed immigration processing. Parole authority allows people in the United States while their case is pending. This help alleviates the backlog on cases because they're here already. If you say, you know what, you're going to have to wait abroad, the backlog gets worse and waiting times become worse. Next, you've got vulnerable populations, people that are victims of human trafficking, domestic violence. They all get parole. They get parole. They're in the United States. They get paroled in the United States. Members of the family of military members receive parole. You want to end that too? Parole is also used for effective immigration enforcement. You know, Congress funds and mandates that 38,000 people a month night be detained. Well, there's obviously more than that entering, at least up until December, entering every month at the border. You know, 100,000 people a month entering the border, 200,000 people entering the border, 300,000 entering the border. They can't be detained. It's a physical impossibility. So you send them to Mexico? Well, Mexico doesn't have to take them back. There's no legal authority to force Mexico to do that. What Biden's doing now is effectively working with Mexico. And as a result, January, we've seen a 60% drop, almost a 70% drop in the people coming to the border. Word is getting out. The border is being enforced and parole is working. So we'll see. Parole, I mean, it would be stupid of Congress to trade permanently getting rid of a powerful tool of the executive to manage immigration chaos and crises, because that's what parole does, for 6 months of aid to Ukraine. That's just stupid. Just pass the Ukraine bill and go from there. I mean, that's what needs to happen. That's why parole is vitally important for the president in the United States, and why parole must continue. Stop listening to Fox News. All right. Is there a crisis at the border? It was chaos at the border, but parole is bringing that under control. Congress needs to pass a bill that gets more money to asylum officers, hiring thousands more asylum officers. That's how you deal with a million asylum applications, thousands of officers. It's not dealt with by putting people in jail. They don't come here, we'll kill you, even though you'd be killed in our country. That's not going to stop people. If you think you might die in your home country because of your political opinion, because of your race or religion, or because you're gay, because of what you look like, they're going to leave. You're going to leave. You know you are. You absolutely going to find a place that's safer. Even if I'm going to be in jail, okay, I'll be in jail for it. It's better than dying and being killed and hung up by my testicles from a lamppost. So that is why parole is important. So we'll see what happens over the course of the next week. That's crazy is there's still no language that's public. There's no public language yet. I mean, we have seen some stuff about what might be in the bill. The New York Times had a little piece about what might be in the bill. More officers, more money for Border Patrol, which Biden asked for months ago. You can talk about abuse, but it's not abuse in the context of what's happening. It's actually lessening the burden at the border, and that is a good thing. Well, that's my parole talk today. I had to get it off my chest because I was just so ticked off about the misinformation on some types of media out there. And I understand Americans don't get trained on immigration law. They don't know what this really means. They think that Biden's letting whoever into the country. He's not. And ICE is doing a great job of tracking me. People are showing up for their hearings. They are. We don't have enough judges. Get more judges. Get more prosecutors. We don't have them. They're Congress isn't funding it. If you don't fund it, you know, America is. And Trump's not going to solve this problem when he comes in. Trump was just as bad under Trump. You people forget what 2019 was like. It was a night. He put people in kids in cages, for God's sakes. Remember. As Spock said, remember, you know, this is Biden and Mayorkas are doing the best job they can under the circumstances, especially under the political flood from Trump and his know nothing minions. So give it to them. I'm going to give them a round. I'm going to give them a hand for trying to do the right thing here. Now, not doing a lot right thing in a lot of other areas, and USCIS remains a freaking mess. They're not getting caught up on important cases. But I will say this, a client called yesterday that was part of our litigation on the 601A waiver program. And he said, thank you. I just got my approval. It would have taken 6 to 12 more months if I hadn't got it. So immigration, remember they promised last October they would adjudicate all 601A cases within 12 months by the following October. Well, they're on August 2020 now. They're making progress. They've moved about, they probably moved about 6 months in the last 2 or 3 months. So, you know, that's working. Of course, 601s are still taking 2 years. That litigation's going on. EADs are still taking 5 months. That should take no more than a minute to get those done, amongst many other nightmares at USCIS. And that to me is not the people that work there. That's the management that work there. I think they're doing a terrible job managing their workload. There's not a lot of other immigration news, but that's it for today. I wanted to just do a quick 15-minute pop here because I know how easy it is to lose your attention span listening to me talk. But I'll be back next week. We'll put up our next podcast, and we'll hopefully have a guest here next week talking about the immigration court system and what has become the next great unsung nightmare of immigration. Well, next week, this is Chuck Cook, your host here on the Immigration Hour. Have a great week.